Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys.
Smooth Drama.
All right. Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. I want you to holler at me. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you don't want to call me, I always welcome emails, questions, comments, concerns, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. That is the email. Once again, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. And some of you who would like to social network with me, because I socially network very well sometimes. If you're on the Facebook, as some people call it, if you go to the Smooth Drama Show, myself or Mr. J will jump in and add you. Once again, Smooth Drama Show on Facebook, or just Google me, wherever you find Smooth Drama. Add me, I'll add you back, and we can talk about it. Oh, and of course, this is the happy birthday Tom Stolzoff show. It's a shout out to my homie Tom down in San Diego. He's officially an old bastard. I mean, you're really old, Tom. And the fact that you're trying to win the Scrabble right now, I do not appreciate. But I do appreciate that you're old and you want to play with me. Although that don't sound right, playing with me, because we're not playing like that. Anyway, speaking of playing with each other, I know most people have seen it. It's a meme, it's video, it's everything. Atlanta Braves, Ozzy Albies and Ronald Acuna Jr. You know, Albies is like rubbing his head for a very long time while they're in the dugout. Now, it started off, this is like some urban legend types, right? It started off, hey, his mother had just died, and he was consoling him. And so it was like, okay, you know, because they're not from America, right? And, you know, people who are not from America, they may be more affectionate towards each other. That was the first story. Then had a situation where his mother actually like replied through all of that, congratulating him on a good game. It's like, well, that wasn't true. She's alive. And, you know, it was a big deal. It was like, I didn't think it was a big deal, but there was a big deal where people was like, oh, he's gay, or they gay. They was posting to Riley from the Boondocks, y'all gay, all that. You know, I mean, it was everywhere. You had the folks like, why can't men show affection towards each other? Then you had the other folks like, well, yeah, but he got his head between his legs, and he's like stroking him ever so affectionately. It was very intimate. It was like, and I know when you saw the sisters who were defending it, and the sisters who were like, nah, hell no. It's like all of them had that thing in common, like, can we get held like that? Like, you know, can the brother stroke me, stroke my head like that? Can he rub and caress me? Like, just hold me in between his legs like that. And I'm like, you're right. I can't even argue that one. But that's like a whole other side note. That was like from the other show because it was National Orgasm Day. But, I mean, we can still platoon on that one. We can just like keep that side note going. But I'm not going to do it right now. And later, maybe. But not right now. Point is, it was really funny because then it's like, well, mama's alive. So that ain't it. And then you see all kinds of clips of these cats all year. I mean, it's like sticking their tongues out at each other and their faces are really close to one another. It's like one time it was like the tongues was almost, and you know, to me it just seemed obvious that, hey, they share intimacy. Like, kind of obvious. You know, they hitting it. And, I mean, it's fine, but then they come out like, nah, we're not gay. Well, I mean, I don't know if that's a publicity thing or whatever. It's sort of like Sammy Sosa saying, nah, I'm not whitewashed. I just look like a vampire. It looked like they hitting it. They act like they hitting it. I'm assuming they hitting it. But if they not hitting it, I still think they hitting it. I mean, it's just one of the things. It's there. It doesn't even really matter. I just, the fact that they, you know, people were in the uproar. I was like reading them comments. It was like the first day, like 9,000 comments. I was like, I got to stop. You know, but they say they're not gay. Everybody else says they're gay. Then you have the people, they're writing articles. Why can't black men show affection for one another? And I'm like, you know, I know a few black men. We hug it out. We don't stroke each other's head. So, in between each other's legs. I don't. And it's not no homophobia. It's just I don't want that dude between my legs and I'm stroking his head. It's like it don't even feel right. And I'm not doing it. Just thinking about it doesn't feel right. It's like his head is too close. Anyway. Whew. I probably need to just move on to the next topic because, yeah, no homo. So I'm just going to jump into what I always do. We're going to get into our dumbass of the week. All right. So, y'all know about it. It's this cracker named Whitman. He's the dumbass of the week. I don't need to say his whole name. We all know Whitman. He drives a truck for a company that I don't care anything about. Anyway, what makes him the dumbass of the week? And, you know, lightweight hater of the week. He followed the brother, Lovett, followed him to his house. And he asked him, why you do it? And he said, I just wanted to let you know what an N-word you are. And so Lovett replies, so I'm an N-word because you can't read street signs. And, you know, so homie, you know, put it out there. And when NBC4 approached him 2 days after the dispute, he's like, man, look, and I quote Mr. Whitman, I don't know if it makes it right or wrong. All I can say is I grew up with it, and it's not a big deal for me. Boom. He was riding with it. You know what? Because, you know, this is the year of the white man. White people done came back in a way. Not that they ever left, but it's like they're like 1908 white people. It's not 2018. They're like, nah, it's 1908, and we riding on y'all fools. Unfortunately for Whitman, it got out, and he lost his business. Nobody wants to mess with him. Nobody wants to buy his stuff, and so he kind of stuck. And so he came out wanting the sympathy. Like, it was an awful mistake, and obviously, I don't know how to explain it. And it's ruined my life. And it's ruined my family's life. Before I get into that, I gotta read all his words. Because you don't get the proper context until you get all of his words. Because he pens a letter. And this is after he says, I don't know if it makes it right or wrong. All I can say is I grew up with it, and it's not a big deal for me. You know, he said those words. Then he lost his business. It's ruined my life and my family's life. So he writes a letter to Charles Levitt and the community. I apologize for my use of the N-word towards Charles Levitt. On Tuesday, July 24th, I mean, he gave the whole date and everything. He, like, spelled it out. That's why it's funny. I understand that using the N-word was not only hurtful towards Lovett as an individual, but hurtful towards the black community at large. Using the word was dehumanizing, unacceptable, and inexcusable. I probably should speak in his twang, but I don't want to do it. My actions reflect an unhealthy mindset I have developed, and I need to work to change. I have served the black community for the last 9 years, installing furnaces and water heaters with pride. All right. My actions that day are not a reflection of my feelings towards the black community. I also understand that racial tensions in America are higher than before, and I regret my part in contributing to that tension. I realize that words are hollow without action, and because of the hurt I have caused, I hope I have the opportunity to give back to the black community that I have harmed in a meaningful way. You know, it's funny. White people lose their money behind hurting people. They get very, very apologetic. I mean, before, when there was no there's no repercussions. He's like, it's just the way it is. I don't even care. It's the way it is. Nobody won't buy from him no more. His whole life is ruined. And he probably, he don't look like he's got the skills to do anything but what he was doing. And so now, because nobody wants to buy stuff. Although, I'm going to guess, And this is what always happens. It's like I said with Roseanne Barr, she disrespected the flag, and she got a job. Kaepernick did not. I'm gonna guess that there's some white people, some white nationalists, who are probably raising some money for his cracker ass. Just
It's just a thought. I'm guessing that that's what's happening right now. And they gonna give him some loot, and that's gonna be it. Those are my thoughts. But in the meantime, he a dumbass, and I hope that he, you know, he's run out of business, and he just never gets back on his feet. It sounds harsh, but it's really not. You know, because that's kind of what needs to happen to folks like that. I mean, because I'm saying, like I would keep saying, do not watch the NFL. I refuse to watch it. They don't feel like we're important. Total line, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to watch it. Hit them in the pocket, and they'll come see you. They'll talk a different tune if you hit them in the pocket. Like old Whitman here. I hope nothing good happens for him. That's wrong. That's kind of harsh, but actually it's not. It's like justice, right? It like feels good. It's like Eric, when I read his words, I couldn't stop laughing. Like, oh, he's sorry. And your ass ain't sorry. You just, oh, sorry y'all caught me and y'all messed with my money. Nah, actually, I gotta like apologize to black folks, cause you know how hard that was. Pegasus, what I'm gonna do? You're gonna have to apologize to him. I ain't apologizing. We're gonna be broke. What are we gonna do? How are we gonna buy hog maws? You know. So, yeah. No money. And I probably need to go on break now because I'm talking about this too much. It's just funny. Anyway, Erykah Badu. I'm feeling like her. I'm 20 feet tall.
summer. Smooth Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was Erykah Badu, 20 feet tall. One day I'm going to meet her. I'm going to say, you've been made so much. I mean, she's so much strong music. It's like, one day. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Whew. All right. So, you know, there's haters of the week, and then there's haters of the week. And like I said, I started off the show saying this is like the year of the white man, right? It's like white folks, 1908. We want to go back to 1908. So another thing that seems like it's back to the days of 1908. No. And another thing that you can't do while being black. I mean, there's so many things that you can't do while being black now. I mean, we've seen that you can't go into your house while being black. You can't go into your business while being black. You can't sit in your car and listen to yoga music. Why you want to listen to yoga music, I don't know. But, hey, it's a personal choice. Everybody has preference. But you can't do that while being black. We are adding yet another thing that you can't do while being black that we did not know. As black folks, we kind of find it out. Woman, young girl, student at Smith College was eating her lunch in the campus common room when police approached her. Apparently, a college employee had called police to report someone who seemed out of place. You know, it was a building that was being used for a summer program. And so when they arrived, they found that it was her just taking a break from her campus job. Like, that's what people do. So the police said there was nothing suspicious about the student's presence. And that's what the school said, not the police. In a statement released about the incident. So, eating lunch while on break at the college campus that you work at and you go to school at. That's suspicious. I mean, as a former college student, I've done that 1,000 times. You know, you get your food and you sit there and you eat it where you bought it from. It's a strange phenomenon. It sounds like something that you're just supposed to get suspended for and chastised for, because, you know, you have the nerve to buy your food and want to eat it. The hell's wrong with black folks out here tripping? I mean, we out here tripping. I mean, we don't even know. You know, I mean, selling lemonade. Why the hell would a little girl want to sell lemonade to make some money? That's that bullshit. Why people want to barbecue at the lake? Why the hell you want to do that? Who the hell wants to barbecue at the lake on a pretty sunny day? That's what's wrong with black folks. That is clear now. It's crystal clear that if, and I repeat, if you want to go and have fun and enjoy and live your life, we're going to have to call police on you and try to get you shot. Because once again, it's 1908. It ain't 2018. It's 1908. I mean, we just got TV. That's the difference between we got TVs and we all have cars now. Well, not everybody has a car. It's some of y'all still walking on purpose. I don't know why, but that's a whole other story. Point being, because I don't want to digress any longer. You have life being lived, but you want to be black and do it. That's our mistake. That's mistake number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Why you want to live life? Why you want to enjoy it? Why you want your life to matter? Why you want people to care about you? Y'all want to do stuff. You want to eat your lunch while on lunch break. You know how many black people ain't been able to eat their lunch on lunch break? Uninterrupted by overseers. It's like, and you want to do it now. Shame on you. You should be like Dak Prescott. Now, I know. Everybody's jumping on Dak Prescott, and they're like, you know what? He ain't really cool. I mean, because if you read the whole article, the whole interview, it sounded good. He's like, you know what? You shouldn't protest at the game. Protest somewhere else where it would matter the most. Even though you work for the guy that says, hey, you gonna toe the line. I don't give a what the NFL rule is. He says you can stay in the locker room. Well, they say you can stay in the locker room. God damn it. If you're not on the line and you don't have your hand on the damn chest and saluting that flag, I'm gonna fire your ass. Unquote. Jerry Jones. So Dak Prescott came out like, you know what? I'm going to be out there on the line. I need my money. My boss treats me good. I don't know about y'all. The master treats me good. I don't even have to call him master. I just say Mr. Jones. Anyway. So Dak Prescott, he'd probably get some more chunky soup commercial, maybe. But I would say, you know what? If Dak Prescott is representing Chunky Soup, buy Campbell. Buy whatever the hell. Any soup company. Make your own, damn it. Go to Trader Joe's, buy you some broth and some vegetables. Cut up your chicken, whatever the hell you're going to do. But don't, Chunky, don't even buy. If I see you, I'm going to keep saying, like that dude Tyrone on Facebook. He's on the internet walking up on fools. I'm Tyrone. He's smacking cigarettes. I'm smacking Chunky Soup out your hand. You better not be buying that Chunky Soup. Put that down. I'm just saying. Because these dudes, they won't support these cats that won't tell us what and how we're supposed to be and how we're not important, but we're supposed to celebrate this flag. But I'm like, first, and maybe if I was a real Christian, I would understand it. Isn't this in your Bible where it says you shall have no foreign idols before me? Wouldn't pledging allegiance to a flag be that? I mean, at least in my head, I'm not a Christian, so maybe I can't speak for that. I can't speak on it. Maybe somebody out there said, you know what? I'm a Christian. You know what? I can pledge allegiance to the flag because it's not idolatry, because the Old Testament was abolished by the New Testament. But then that would mean there's no Ten Commandments. But we are about the Ten Commandments. It's like one of them weird things, right? Not that I'm going off on a tangent on it, but it just seems like one of them weird things. But we're kind of like, oh, yeah, well, we abolished and we don't do this, but we still follow some of the Old Testament, the stuff that's convenient for you. But I digress. though. Yeah, Dak Prescott's got a job. Colin Kaepernick, though. You know, the guy that stood up for oppressed people as a rich man, which made people upset, like, rich man wanna, I mean, because at the core of it, that was the first argument. It's a rich man, a guy who ain't never been poor, standing up for poor people, caring about poor people. What the f*** is that? That was the first thing. Then it was like, well, he ain't really black. He light-skinned. You know that whole argument. I mean, even though we know he light-skinned because it may be some slave master creeping. Maybe kind of, sort of. You know that whole, that Ten Commandments thing that had nothing to do with everybody on the plantation looking like master. And the wife had to look at it and see it. That's how the light-skinned thing started. Everybody in the house look exactly like your husband, but you can't say nothing about it. But that's the reason why they caught hell, because everybody in the house look exactly like her husband and her kids. They all look like, kind of weird, only they is a tad bit darker. But I digress again. Colin Kaepernick, EA Sports. They apparently have a Madden NFL soundtrack, and there was a song that was done by YG and Big Sean, and they took his name out of the song. Now they said, and I quote the good people over at EA. It was an oversight. It was, members of our team misunderstood the fact that while we don't have rights to include Colin Kaepernick in the game, this doesn't affect soundtracks. We messed up, and the edit should never have happened. We will make it right with an update to Madden NFL 19 on August 6th that will include the reference again. We meant no disrespect, and we apologize to Colin, to YG, and Big Sean, to the NFL, to all of the fans and our players for this mistake. Yeah. Today, they really, truly care about that. I mean, the fact that these are black folks that might not want to play that video game. Oh, my goodness. And you know that they make their money off of y'all. That's what I'm saying. If your kids is playing Madden, you should just, I know, because I pay good money for that. I'm just saying, if your kids is playing Madden, you see it, maybe while they're gone, you kind of like chuck that game. Y'all can play Fortnite. You can play any game. You can play to pull the spine out the dude, and the whole body fall into a quivering mass of doo-doo. Cool. Anything but Madden. If it got the NFL on it, don't even do it. I'm saying don't even play the video games. I'm just saying. Just kind of lose it. Maybe it's just the boycott part. Maybe you won't throw it away because you don't want to waste your money. But just hold it. Just hide it somewhere. Hide it somewhere they won't look like on the bookshelf, behind some books. You know, not that I'm stereotyping your kids, because your kids read. I'm talking about them other ones. I'm saying, I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about them other ones, right? Anyway, before I go on, I do have to do my real hater of the week.
Hate. I hate you.
Okay. Hater of the week is this white woman. She don't have no name, and even if I knew her name, I wouldn't even say her name, because her name don't deserve to be said, because she's one of them. And if you don't know what one of them is, the woman that lied about Emmett Till you know, the one who said that, yeah, it didn't happen on her deathbed because she didn't want to go to hell. That's the only reason why she admitted to it after the fact, when she knows she was dying and nobody wouldn't get at her ass. The woman like that, this white woman, if some of you didn't know, when the brother got killed in Minneapolis, she grabbed one of the signs for Justice for June and crumpled it. She just walked right in the middle of a whole bunch of black folks, crumpled it, and somebody stole on her ass. You know, I mean, I hope it was a good punch. I mean, I'm just saying, you walk up in the middle of folks, once again, peacefully protesting. See, that's the thing. See, we peacefully protest. And then she, and this is why I say it's 1908, because she knows I walk up in this, I can crumple some shit, and nothing gonna happen to me except for she got stole on. Now she got stole on, and then she called the police. But they didn't shoot anybody, so it's like it's one of those things. It's like a lot of the cops is like, look, you trying to set us up. You know, we only kill black folks when there's not a lot of people around. You know, it can be on cam, whatnot, but at least we can edit that. But this, we can't edit because there's too many people out there, so we can't control the narrative. So they don't shoot black people unless it's like less than two people around. It's that's how that happens. So she underestimates that. Now, I'm sorry that she didn't get the doo-doo dog shit stomped out of her. I can say that. I shouldn't say it because it's like somebody would say, oh, he's advocating violence against women. I'm just saying, maybe if it was a woman, another woman, maybe that woman stole on her. Like, you know what? That's my son's sign that you crumpling on. I mean, the same son who was begging the police, do not shoot me. Please don't shoot me, while he's running in the opposite direction. And, of course, they shot him anyway, because they said they felt like they were in danger. So, once again, another black man running away from the police in the other direction. But the cops feel so threatened by a black man running away from them. The cops feel so threatened by a black man running away from them, trying to get away from them, that they had to shoot him and kill him. And, of course, there was no charges brought against the cops. Running away, they said, oh, yeah, he was armed and dangerous. Running away from them. As you know, that's the most dangerous person. Not the guy coming towards you. Because he's probably trying to hand you some donuts, right? That's what he's doing. But the guy who's running away for his life, begging, please don't shoot me, please don't shoot. I mean, and he gets shot. And so, you know, this white woman, she jumps in the middle of that crowd because she knows what she's doing. She wants the cops. She wants somebody to touch her, say something to her. I'm going to call the cops, and they're going to come and shoot and kill all y'all. That's her thing. Hater of the week. Because that's what they do. When that heifer did what she did to Emmett Till, she knew the crowd was coming. Everybody knows what happened. You say a black dude did so, a black dude whistled at you, black dude raped me. You know the crowd is coming. So, that's what happened. Now, I'm saying, if you're in Minneapolis, can you let this heifer slide? Can you have her just walking around? I'm saying, You know, I mean, if she was coming to my restaurant, I don't have one, but if I did, she probably wouldn't be able to eat uncontaminated food. Not that I'm saying that I would commit any fraud or any health violations or whatnot, but if I did, it's like OJ, if I would have done it, I'd have did it like this. If I was OJ, but I'm not OJ, and I don't have a restaurant, so it's all speculation. And on that note, I probably need to take another break because I'm just talking out the side of my neck. This is Elzai Brigette.
Those who came to see a train wreck need to get their brain checked. Having thoughts of toasting me up in the champagne Lex. I would entertain it if it were a thing, but I'm the heir to the throne. Strong enough to knock the crown off the current king. Because every bar's epic. As far as skeptics, it can bring in insomnia, I got a narcoleptic. I kill whoever craved drama with a thirst for trouble. Yeah, my pen is popping, didn't mean to burst your bubble off a rich block. Getting high like when the pitch knock. Puffing a cigar with a bird, I think I'm Hitchcock. What I write is horrifying. It cracks the head of my foes, send a fedora flying just before they aura dying. Once my thoughts escape the brain, you can't compare notes to these air quotes that hit the pad now, it's a paper plane. That's that pookie dope from Nino and the Dookie rope. Every line is cocaine, every bar's Gucci soap. You claim you flames when that's only hell. What I spit out in the booth is the fountain of youth inside the holy grail. The day you wanna try me, I'll be sipping chai tea with both feet kicked up like Tai Chi. Me no worry, I'm a ice storm in Cali. You about as common as a flurry in Missouri. Surely you not posing a threat, and I don't sleep on fly shit. I just doze in a jet, traveling state to state or doing shows in Tibet. Off a rhyme that every time you hear your ear collects a frozen baguette. Yo, 100 million times on you. Every word is valuable. Every time you hear your ear collects a frozen baguette. Only fly nigga that ain't step foot on soul plane without a road train to control each half of a whole brain. What you encompass is false. Any rhyme on your past spoke is bad coke. Chop it up as a loss. Just roll some hip then. Wrote this with a pen pen. It turns a gorilla into a chimpanzee. A pansy who won't attempt plan B. If plan A fail, they land straight shells. Keep it 100. Life is grand. Stay well. The feral pen push heroin. It's heroin to meet your narrow ends. And stick the barrel in your mouth. We'll let an arrow skin your scalp to the white meat and rupture a brain cell. If you don't knock it off, I knock the thoughts from your train rail. I'm trained well in these arts and crafts. The first verse was lines and bars. These are charts and graphs. My level's where you find the stars. Front if you want. Watch how I play it like Jimi Hendrix when he gets behind guitars. I'm an anguilla, counting up Skrilla inside a villa. I'm still a highlight in the verse. You are a filler and I don't feel you. Go back to the drawing board, you wimps. I caught a glimpse of my future and saw awards. You probably a doubt it. How I close mine do, but I won't just clothesline you out, body your outfit. I'm quite nice, and it's not the Henny with the light ice. Buy the bag of small fortune, that don't come with white rice. I am who upsets rookies and vets, while the burbs of the jet collects invisible sets of baguettes. Baguettes, nigga. All day, just wanted to show y'all what it was about. Every time you hear your ear collects a frozen baguette,
your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Elzai Brigette. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right. So, y'all know what time it is. If you don't know what time it is, that's because you probably don't have a watch, so you probably don't know what time it is, or you're just somebody who don't care about time, and what time it is doesn't really matter because all that kind of stuff is irrelevant to you. So, I will tell you what time it is, just in case you didn't know. And if you did know, then we both know what time it is, and it's time for Groundhog Day. Y'all ain't ready.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no!
What is that that happened again? Well, let's take a guess. Let's take a wild guess. something happened to somebody black, and it was just something that is just so reprehensible, which is the everyday thing here in America, that I'm talking about it. It makes it Groundhog Day, because that's what happens to us here in America. Case in point, Barbara Carroll, a 78-year-old black woman who holds a PhD. She attempted to cash a check in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Mind you, it's Florida. If you've listened to my show long enough, you know there's some special stuff that happens in Florida that doesn't happen anywhere else. So we have a special phenomenon that is just Florida alone, because you could do a whole show in Florida every week and it wouldn't be out of place. But I'm digressing because it's Groundhog Day. Anyway, she provided her driver's license and a passport. You only need one. Passport just automatically means that you done passed a whole other level of background check. And you're like legit, legit. Mind you, this is a 78-year-old black woman trying to cash her check. So the teller, I mean, I could say she's a white woman, but I'm guessing y'all probably guessed that it was. And if you didn't guess that, I don't know what you're doing. Anyway, she took the ID and told Carol to have a seat in the lobby. And, you know, she had her wait for like 30 minutes. Miss Carol went and asked for a manager, who, oh my goodness, turned out to be a white woman. What are the odds? Anyway, the manager asked her what she did for money, refused to cash the check, and wouldn't return Miss Carroll's ID, informing her that she had called the cops. You know, she sat down and waited for the police. And when they took too long, she called 911 herself. So, after 2 hours, 78-year-old black woman had to wait 2 hours at the bank. The officers came in, checked the ID, and told the bank employees that the license was valid. And they cashed the check without offering an apology or anything. Now, y'all want to know how much the check was for? It was $140. I didn't say $14,000. I didn't say $140,000. I said $140. Now, she had a passport. But, you know, like I said, it's the year of the white man. It's 1908. We ain't in 2018. We're in 1908. Y'all just going to have to recognize that. So, she's in there, a 78-year-old woman. Grandma. Great-grandma. In here with a $140 check, trying to just cash her check and go home. She had to wait 2 hours. Had to call the police herself because they won't give her her license back, her information back. Cash her check after, and I mean, you know it's out of spite. Like, she got a passport. I don't have a passport. I can't go nowhere because I'm broker than a motherfucker. That's the kind of thought. And sort of like you saw the movie Rosewood, and it was like, he got a piano. I don't even have a piano. You can't play the piano. I don't care. He got a piano, and I don't have a piano. So, she got a passport. You don't have a passport. It's a $140 check. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, blatant disrespect. I mean, I've said it. I mean, I can talk about my anger. I'm saying that, look, protesting in the street ain't working. I mean, that it worked like 60 years ago. Ain't gonna work now. I mean, if you want to hit folks, as I said, don't buy chunky soup. Don't buy Papa John. Anybody that's with the NFL, don't buy it. Let it ride. And if you're at Wells Fargo, let them go. I mean, because that was Wells Fargo. They had the commercial. You know, that commercial after they said, we're helping the community. It's a new day, but it's a lot like their first day. I'm guessing their first day, way back in 1850-some, probably wasn't all that appealing to black folks. We probably couldn't even walk in the door without getting the police call. Like, hold on, why are you here? I'm just saying. Stop sending money with them, because I'm guessing if I can't get proper service, I'm not coming back to your spot. I'm canceling my account. So, let's ask the question. How do you go forward in fear? And, it's one of those things. Black folks are in fear every day. Like I said, it's the Stockholm Syndrome. And it filters down. If you want to call it psychological chain slavery, whatever you want to say, you can call it that. And then into your personal life, how do you go forward with this fear? You ask yourself, what are you fearful of? I mean, we've been bred to not be able to embrace positivity, prosperity, happiness. As you see, we talked about being happy and black. It's not really that appropriate in 1908. And so, it's one of those things you have to change your mindset about. Me in particular. But you as a listener. And just black people in general. I mean, because we're living in a constant state of fear. An environment that's fear-inducing. How do we break free from that and be the masters and mistresses of our own destiny? There was one thing I saw. French President Emmanuel Macron, whatever, announced he will be making... he will make returning African art stolen during the colonial era a top priority in his administration. I talked about that red blood, the red juice petition that had over 20,000 signatures when they grave robbing black folks, opening up sarcophagus. And now, it's a good thing. He wants to return stolen African art during the colonial era. But I would say that they should return all the stuff you stole from Africa. Like all the graves that you robbed. I mean, empty out these museums. Because you didn't get permission. You just stole it. And it's one thing I agree with Killmonger. Like, I'm a, How you gonna pay for it? It's not for sale. No, I'm gonna take it the same way you took it. I mean, because this is what we're talking about. So how do you overcome fear? I mean, you just gotta fight fear. You gotta take what's yours. And not worry about, you know, implications. I mean, they're not worried about implications. You shouldn't either. And so, artifacts, grave robbing, your life in general. Take it back. I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, we already know that there's no respect for you anyway. So if you don't go for the okey-doke, it's not going to change anything. See, because I don't understand. I mean, because you can coon real hard, but if they catch you sleeping, they'll still kill you, shoot you. I mean, you can't eat a sandwich. You can't do anything while being black. So, I mean, what we got to lose? I mean, what do we have to lose? It's a real question. And I know a lot of folks don't think of being in control of what you want to do and how you want to do it. So when I see them talking about, oh, we're going to return stolen artifacts. Okay. I mean, people were actually like, oh, well, he's a great guy. I mean, are you great for doing what's right, what you're supposed to do? I mean, it's sort of like people used to irk me. It's like, oh, your father, you're a great father because you actually, like, spend time with your kid. It's stupid like that. And so you start saying, okay, what you're supposed to do is extraordinary. And that's the norm nowadays. And we got to get past that. We got to push past that. Because it's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be regular. We're supposed to feel good about ourselves. But they make it like it's something wrong with it. So, how do we go forward under all the fear that we have? By just going forward. Step into the moment. Instead of stepping into a Slim Jim, step into a moment. And on that note, I am Mr. F the N-Word. This is another Smooth Drama production. Y'all know what it is. I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got smooth drummer.